If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Thursday, the 7th of January. I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney. You can find me at Mr. Jolly of Sydney on Twitter. I've got my partner, of course, my better half, as he likes to call himself, is Scotty Harland. He is the Harland 23 on Twitter. He's not here today. I'm in charge. I'm running the show. And I can tell you what, I am in a very good mood because LaMarcus Aldridge, you can probably tell by the tone of my voice, is going off like a frog in a sock. Shout out. And that has made my day because in the Roto League, where I compete against a lot of experts in fantasy, including my guest today, Brent, the middleman, I need LMA to go off. Mate, I'm so glad that you're here on a day where I am absolutely delighted with life.
Well, I'm glad you're happy because I'm sitting currently in 10th in that experts league. So my reputation is on the line. These guys better start picking it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit, is it weird for me to ask advice from you if I'm sitting in third place?
You know, I think if we're separated by four or five places in the standings, then it's totally cool because it's like I'm not even in the league at this point.
Yes, indeed. So now you are on, you on Twitter are Brent Middleman. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And one of the things that you've been doing a lot of is in Discord. Tell us a little bit about what you do in the Discord and how that relates to Hoopball Premium.
Yeah, for anyone who's in Hoopball Premium can get an automatic invite into the Discord where we have, man, I think we're up to like, we have like 12 to 15 different channels talking all about hoops. We got trade advice, Dynasty League stuff, just general NBA talk. We have DFS and betting channels. I mean, it's super fun, really interactive. I mean, I'm on there all day long just talking to people, answering questions, getting my questions answered. You know, it's probably the most fun I've had doing fantasy sports in a long time.
Yeah, it really is awesome. And I can be honest with everybody and say Brent is one of the reasons that makes it awesome. It's the experts from Hoopball who are over there. You get one-on-one advice. It's just really great stuff. And that's a good way for me to segue into a little bit of promo for you. Do not skip through this. The fantasy draft season is over and you've got Brewski 150 your way to a hell of a team, hopefully, as I did in some of my leagues, but sadly not all of them. But the season has really only just begun. We're only a couple of weeks in. The Fantasy Pass is still the best deal in the industry at $4.99 a month, only $4.99. And there's zero commitment. You can sign up for 1 month for $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But you know what? We know you will love it. It's always nice to have that option, though, of course. Money back guarantee. The Fantasy Pass has everything you'll need to dominate all year long. Updated projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedules, and screaming charts. That's hard to say. Pickups, drops. Our newest and coolest feature, which Brent and I were just talking about, is the Hoopball Discord server. That's a little bit like Slack, if you're not familiar with Discord. Different channels and things, as we talked about. You can hang out with all the Hoopball pros, get one-on-one help, so do check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com and click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. We are here to talk about NBA games, and let's start with the Cleveland Cavaliers up against the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Cavaliers won out winners 94 points to 90. For the Cavaliers, a man who I streamed and has gone 7 for 32 over 2 days, but he fills up other categories, was Chetty Osman. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal. He had 4 three-pointers, but he was that little bit putrid, 6 for 19 from the field. Have I done all right streaming him? Should I hold him, Brent?
You know, I mean, as long as they're being ravaged by injuries, I say he's a definite hold. Be ready to, you know, stomach a poor shooting percentage once in a while. Sometimes he gets hot and it's not too bad, but those ancillary stats are pretty tasty.
They are, aren't they? 7 assists, you know, from a streamer, because that's what he is basically, isn't he? So 7 assists, yep. He's got a steal for you. And those 4 threes are beautiful. Another beautiful man is Larry Nance Jr. He had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 4 3-pointers. He's another stat stuffer, isn't he?
For sure. I mean, the lack of blocks is a little disappointing, but you're never going to argue with 3 steals. That's a category that's really hard to build up stats in, and Nance picks him up, you know, by the ton. So hopefully, you know, Love stays out a little bit longer if you're a Nance owner, because he's cleaning up.
Andre Drummond had 22 points, 15 rebounds. He is a monster on the boards, isn't he? Good luck to anyone from his team trying to grab them, though, because the next best was only 5. He had 3 assists and 2 steals. He was 9 for 20 from the field, and obviously he's returning similar value to where he was drafted. Isaac Okoro had 39 minutes. The usage wasn't off the charts. He had 8 points on 9 shots. But he did have 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Is he someone worth considering streaming?
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, as long as Sexton and Garland are out, Okoro is going to be huge. He hasn't, even when they were in, his usage wasn't big. So I wouldn't expect a ton of usage. It looks like Osman has absorbed all of that. But, you know, the defensive stats are there for Okoro, and he's not going to hurt you with percentages, and he's going to pick up some assists. So I'd say yes.
All right, beautiful stuff. For the Memphis Grizzlies, now they're another team that's been ravaged by injury, at least to their star player. Let's just say that, with Jar being out, of course. For them, Jonas Valanciunas had 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks. He is just rock solid in his 27 minutes. Brandon Clark, now he's someone we should stop and talk about. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 7 for 11. Field goal percentage is like, you know, his top contributor probably in fantasy. Now he's somebody who is, I think he's ranked like 250th or something right now, isn't he? He's been disappointing, but is he somebody that we've done well to hold on to? Because I've got him in probably 4 or 5 leagues out of my 15, 16 leagues, and I have not dropped him anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you're happy that you didn't after a game like this, but he's one of those guys along with Marvin Bagley. I think Clark and Bagley were probably two of the most hyped guys preseason who have just been a huge letdown. But Bagley came through with a big game. Now Clark is putting up the numbers we expected him to. The problem is, you know, Memphis is dealing with those injuries as well, and they're going to start getting guys back. And Clark wasn't really filling it up at the beginning of the year when he had, you know, all the minutes too, but he is in the starting lineup. So, you know, he's definitely a streamer option if you have that choice. But man, I don't know, if he had a couple more stinkers, I'd be looking at the waiver wire.
Yeah, it's that bad, is it?
I think so. I mean, the talent's there, but I just, you know, and it's a really small sample size, so it's hard to say, but I know a lot of people, you know, spent a decent draft pick to get Clark, and definitely a letdown at this point. So I don't know how much more patient I could be with him.
Mm. So potentially he's someone to try and include in a trade, like in a 2-for-2 or a 3-for-3. I did a deal actually in my dynasty league where I traded away him and Marvin Bagley in the same deal. That deal had not even processed when Bagley had his game yesterday. So I think I got Harden and Drew Holiday and Kyle Lowry and somebody else in return for Giannis and Clark and Bagley. Does that sound like I did right if I'm moving into a win now mode?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, Bagley did have a big game. So the guy who made the trade with you probably thinking he got a good deal, but I don't know if he can keep that up. That's the anomaly at this point in the season. Same with Clark's good games. So I think if you can package Clark or package Bagley just off name value or ride that hype, that preseason hype still, I would definitely be looking to do that. It's kind of hard to drop either guy right now because they do have that potential. But if you're starting to get frustrated, a trade is the way to go.
And that is the difficult thing. Like, obviously in Dynasty, it's easier to to make that trade. Whereas in redraft, you're struggling, aren't you? Because if someone's 250 or 300th on the season, and we know that Triple J is coming back, it's probably going to be hard to get anything back in a trade unless you can package him with someone else, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're not going to get equal value back unless you have someone in your league who, like I said, is bought into the hype on those guys. You know, so you can try offering them around and see what people say. But you're right. But they do make nice, you know, it's a nice name to see next to, you know, a more tradable asset. So I think what you did was the right approach.
Nice. Tyus Jones, who's filling in for Jar and starting at point guard, he had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. Doesn't really get many points, does he? But those assists are decent.
Yeah, both him and Melton are kind of the same. You know, you're going to get good point guard stats. You're not going to get a ton of scoring. Melton can get a little bit hot and hit threes. Jones isn't such a good shooter. It's really more about the steals and stuff with Jones, but he just did not have any tonight, which is a big disappointment for owners, where Melton came through with three. So, you know, those guys are splitting time right now, and you know, their days are numbered with Morant coming back, and they'll probably split time coming off the bench. So if you can stream either one right now, I think it's a good move, but, you know, keep in mind that's going to be short term.
Yes, indeed. Anything else in Memphis that's interesting? Probably Kyle Anderson. He's probably been the best long stream in fantasy so far this season. He had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, only 4 for 12 from the field. Is he someone you picked up anywhere? I think I've got one of him myself.
Yeah, I picked him up in a few places. I think I've always been a big fan. When he was healthy in San Antonio, he was top 75, you know, for the all-around stats that he can provide. He's just struggled with injuries the last bunch of years, and he finally looks healthy again, and he's right back to that form. Obviously Winslow comes back and Jaren Jackson, you know, it could be a little bit of a different story, but I think he's going to end up being one of those guys we talk about at the end of the year as one of those top waiver wire pickups. So if he's still hanging out there in any of your leagues, I recommend grabbing him, because he doesn't rely on scoring. He puts up other stats, which should still be there when these guys come back.
Our second game of the evening is one that we're getting breaking news about right now as we speak. And by the time you listen to this, it might not be breaking news anymore, but we're finding out that Seth Curry missed the game tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers against the Brooklyn Nets. He had a positive coronavirus test. And as we speak, Philadelphia they've stopped in New York. They're getting tested and tracing is going on. God, this is a mess, isn't it, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, this is the, if you have fantasy guys on Philadelphia, this is the last thing you want to hear. Seth Curry's been playing really well, too, for them. It did open up a chance for Shake Milton, though, to step up, so we can maybe talk about him in a minute. But yeah, everybody's watching the news after every game wondering if their team's going to pop up on this COVID list with their players.
Now, that is where I'll start today. Firstly, of course, it was a bit of an upset too, with Brooklyn winning 122-109. Yeah. That was probably one. It's funny, like seeing the line before the game. I remember seeing someone saying, "Well, it's only 4-point line in favor of Philadelphia. That looks like one to get on because they're going to stuff Brooklyn." And then, you know, have a look at this. It's a pretty amazing turnaround.
How do they know that? Yeah. It always amazed me, these line makers and their ability to be like, oh, Caris LeVert's going to blow up and they're going to be fine. Or, you know, I don't know. But yeah, good call.
I think, I guess maybe some of it too is matchups. And also, didn't Philadelphia play yesterday? I think, was it back-to-back, wasn't it?
Back-to-backs are a big deal. Yeah. And Brooklyn was home. So, you know, all those things factor in. But when you're missing Kyrie and KD, that's, you know, that's a big part of what they do.
Maybe we should start with Shake. I mean, God, this is a weird one, isn't it? God, what a weird time we live in. Because on the one hand, I'm like, this is probably horrible to say this. Part of me, I'm going, oh, I don't have any Seth Curry. I just streamed Shake Milton today in that Roto League. He didn't get coronavirus and he had 20. Yeah, so I'm happy. But then on the other hand, how can I be happy?
Because maybe the whole
team is going to be like not be able to play for a bit as well. But Shake Milton had 24 points. He had 7 assists. He had just 1 rebound. Doesn't really get many rebounds. 8 for 13 from the field, efficient, which he's not always. And he hit one of his 4 3-pointers, but he was 7 for 7 from the foul line, which is tasty. Now, he's obviously a streaming option while Seth is out, unless this is so complicated, isn't it? Unless the whole team is out.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to tell at this point. You know, Shake... he's the good kind of shake. The bad kind of shakes is what Seth Curry probably has right now. But Shake is a guy who I compared to Lou Williams coming into the year, and I hyped him up and recommended him to a lot of people. So I'm glad that he's stepping up when he's supposed to, at least when the opening's there. I still think he's going to have some value the rest of the year as kind of a Lou Williams six man type, even when Seth Curry comes back. I think Seth Curry's pretty hot right now, and that's probably not going to completely last. Whereas, you know, Shake gives you that great scoring, you know, off the bench, good threes usually and steals. So I still like Shake. I've still been hyping him up. It's nice to see him doing well.
Yeah. Now, Tyrese Maxey is somebody that a few experts have been talking about as somebody who might eat into some of those Shake Milton minutes. And he was good today. He had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 7 for 12 from the field, 2 for 4 from deep. He might be one of the value pickups in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere. He wasn't one of those names you were hearing a lot in the preseason, and then when the season started, he was right in there in that first game, like first or second guy off the bench, and he looks like a legit NBA player. And that's the cool thing about this season. Like, we didn't get any kind of summer league hype that we would normally have. We didn't get a lot of the preseason, so a lot of these rookies are really stepping up and playing really well. And I wonder if it's just the confidence of going right into NBA games and not, you know, struggling in the summer league or struggling in preseason and losing that confidence that's making the difference, or this draft class is just way better than we gave it credit for.
Yeah. I wonder if also this sort of there's so many games coming thick and fast and injuries, and we've seen here with Seth Curry with coronavirus and stuff, they're probably going to get more opportunity, aren't they? I mean, we saw Okoro in Cleveland had a lot of opportunity because of injuries. That this might be kind of a special season. It'd be interesting to see, I guess, whenever we get back to normality, how many of these guys actually stick.
Yeah, if we get back to normality. Yeah, but like guys like Maxey, Peyton Pritchard, these guys, you know, second round picks who are, you know, stepping up and playing well. It's been a weird year, but fun for fantasy, but makes for a lot of tough waiver wire choices. And people tend to be bailing on guys really quick this season, I've noticed, and trying to trade them or get rid of them just from the stuff I see in the Discord. So I still think I'm preaching patience. You're going to see these weird big games from guys like Maxey, but, you know, keep an eye on the injury situation with the team, the COVID situation, because there's a lot of factors that play into those guys blowing up once in a while, and you probably don't want to quit on a more known commodity for them.
Joel Embiid had 20 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 4 for 5 from the free throw line, 2 nice, tasty three-pointers, very efficient on just 14 shots in his 30 minutes. He's the 7th-ranked player in fantasy. We won't talk about him because Scotty talked about him yesterday. It's just how many games can he play, really? Ben Simmons had 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Unusually poor shooting performance from him. He's normally better because he doesn't shoot from very far away at 4 for 13. He didn't have a great game in this game, but he's obviously a good stat-stuffing guy to have. Toby Harris, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. Are you in agreement that he's a sell-high guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the main names I've seen floated out there as a sell-high. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Tobias Harris is doing anything that he can't maintain. So, you know, if you can get back some, you know, if you can get back, you know, second or first round talent, possibly, but you're not going to be in trouble hanging on to him either. I mean, he's shown in his career that he can maintain this.
Yeah, if you look at his total season on season, they're quite really consistently in that sort of 24, 25 to 40 range on totals. Last season, I think he was 24th or something like that. So you really do want to be getting back a solid second round guy. Otherwise, you probably don't do it and you kick yourself for not taking him more yourself.
Yeah, I mean, if maybe you could get like a Jimmy Butler as a buy low, or, you know, even maybe like a Simmons or something, you know, from someone who's desperate. But Tobias, he's just not a sexy name, but he's always right there and as reliable as they get.
Yes, and speaking of reliable, at the moment, that's Jarrett Allen, because he's got 28 minutes for the Brooklyn Nets and had 15 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. five for six from the foul line, which is unusual because he's not great from the foul line. He just only had six shots. That's a pretty amazing line from somebody only getting six shots, isn't it?
That, I mean, that's the definition of efficient. And Allen's one of those guys, if we always knew if he only got the minutes, he'd be a fantasy stud. And it seems like Steve Nash has gotten the memo because he's getting the majority of the minutes over DeAndre Jordan. And if anyone's, I get a lot of questions. Should I start Allen? Yes, start Jared Allen. The guy puts up elite defensive and rebound numbers, which are and field goal percentage, which is really hard to come by in fantasy.
And speaking of something that's hard to come by is when you have guys like Joe Harris on your team and they go off for 28 points. Now, he's another one. I am having an absolute legendary day in that Roto league today. I've got Joe Harris. I've got LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge is 28 points. Joe Harris, 28 points. Shake Milton, 24 points. Osman with his absolute stat stuffing line. I've even got Juan Hun and Gomez out there balling for me with 12 points and six rebounds. It's after a shocking few days, it bounced back nicely for me. Joe Harris, he's obviously, it's funny because he was somebody, he fell out of the starting five just a day or two ago. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. Is he somebody you maybe try to sell high on? Because when everybody's around and with Bruce Brown starting now, does he provide that value in that sort of 70, 80 range, or is it worth trading him for someone who you know is definitely going to?
You know, it's interesting because I haven't really seen him in this six-man role, which it seems like they're committed to since they started Bruce Brown over him today and kept him on the bench even with guys out. You know, I don't know. You can't really expect these kinds of well-rounded lines like he did today, so he could be a decent sell high if you can get the right value, but you know, he's going to consistently give you decent points, rebounds, and threes at a good percentage. So, you know, I'd wait a couple games and see how he does in this new role, unless you can, you know, use this stat line to steal someone from somebody.
Yeah, at the moment, and I'm not sure if this is factoring in today's game, he's ranked 68th in nine category, and the three-pointers are obviously his strongest. That's his elite category. But the field goal percentage is also up there, and he doesn't make turnovers. So,
yep.
That's tasty for him. And for a guard, the rebounds are okay.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so far this season. So I think I will hold on to him, just ride it out. He's solid, isn't he? Even on a bad night, he's going to have probably solid numbers for you. Another person.
Well, and I think with LeVert in the starting lineup, I was going to say, I think with LeVert in the starting lineup, you know, Harris and coming off the bench, Harris might see a lot more ball handling responsibility. So maybe those, you know, assist numbers come up too, which would, you know, put him firmly in the top 70.
Yeah. And speaking of Caris LeVert, I had a little sort of wager, sort of fun thing with some guys I play in a league with. Shout out to the 30-team NBA simulation league, all the lads over there. And I offered over-under on Caris LeVert shots today at 22. I think he had 25 by the third quarter. He was, I thought he was going to
get. He was chucking.
He had 9 for 25 from the field, 36%, but he did have 22 points, 10, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals. I got him in a few leagues because I've got five Kyrie Irvings, and I thought, gee, if bad things happen to Kyrie, I need to have some Caris LeVert. Is he a sell high?
No, I love Caris LeVert. I've been a huge fan for years. I have him on a bunch of teams, even when Kyrie is playing. I think the Spencer Dinwiddie going down for the season is really what made him a keeper and not a sell high. Because even with Kyrie back, Caris is, you know, going to have plenty of opportunities to put up good lines. So especially at where you drafted him. So unless, like I said, all these dependent upon, you know, what you need on your team and what you can get for him. But I'd say in most cases, I wouldn't be looking to shop him right now.
Yeah. And in Roto, he's obviously got value because he's going to have some of these really big games, like you said. And I think I've got him in a couple of Roto leagues at good value. He's going to have some quiet games, but yeah, these guys are going to miss games. And just in general, with what's going on, it looks like people are going to miss games because of coronavirus left, right, and center as well.
Well, I saw right before this game, it came out that Steve Nash said he doesn't know why Kyrie Irving didn't play today. And he heard that Kyrie just didn't want to play.
Well, here's a bit of a weird conspiracy theory for you. Did Kyrie Irving know about Seth Curry's positive test?
That I don't know. I wonder.
Think about it. They must have known about it before the game because he didn't play. So let's say Seth Curry tells his brother, and Steph Curry and Kyrie are tight, and Steph messages Kyrie and says, "Oh yeah, I think old mate Seth has got coronavirus, bud." Who knows? It's possible.
Well, I mean, news travels faster on a flat Earth, so you got to take that into consideration.
There you go. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm 90% joking about that, but you never know. I think people are jumping to conclusions that it's related to stuff that happened in the States yesterday, which we won't go into the details of. Anyway, there's definitely going to be more games that he misses one way or another. What's that? Sorry.
Oh, I said hold LeVert.
Definitely hold LeVert. Don't trade him. Yeah. So it's now about 10:05 Pacific time, and there's still some games going on that we're going to talk about. Most of them are almost finished. The third game on the slate is the Minnesota Timberwolves up against the Portland Trailblazers. And I think we're at the point where there is 6 minutes to go, and it looks like Portland have got it under control. They're 116-98 in front. For the Portland Trailblazers, speaking of, I was going to say good news, Yusuf Nurkic is the place to start. He's 7-for-9 from the field in 20 minutes, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. I've got 3 or 4 Nurks, and I have resisted selling low on him because, like, you normally, the shows are called Sell High and Buy Low. There's no show called Sell Low, is there?
No, and for good reason. Nurkic is another one of those names that's all over the Discord of people wanting to try to buy low on him. I think what we saw in the bubble might be his ceiling, and it might be an anomaly. I think, with a full team that they have playing now and the new additions that they have, I think this kind of is what Nurk is. But I wonder if there's some kind of nagging injury or something we just don't know about, because his blocks are just way down. And that was where a lot of his value came from. So, I wouldn't sell on him. You definitely got to hang on to him. You're probably going to get a lot of offers, a lot of lowball offers, but I would resist right now. But I don't know that I would trade anybody of major value to try to get him low either.
Yeah, it's a bit of a risky one. What about if you compare him to DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair comparison. Two guys drafted probably right around the same spot. I think Ayton probably has more potential rest of season than Nurk, although we did see in the bubble what Nurk's capable of. I just think Ayton's going to get more opportunities on that team. In more playing time. So I think he's more apt to turn it around. But I think both guys you got to kind of hang on to at this point and hope they get back to where their draft value.
Damian Lillard at this point of the game has 29 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. He had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's been very efficient today and looking back to his good self. Somebody who has not been good and is not good today, Robert Covington, 3 points. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, only 3 shots, 1-for-3. Is Roko's time as a top sort of 40 MacGyver, Swiss Army knife type over?
Oh, man, Rocco is a mystery to me. I took him in a bunch of spots because he's one of those guys when he's sitting there in the draft and you see those threes and those blocks and those steals and the percentages just look so nice. I don't know what his deal is, if he just lost a step, if there's an injury, but I'm starting to think that this just isn't a slow start because the usage just really isn't there either. I mean, he only took four shots tonight. And I think Nurkic, McCollum, and Lillard are just such usage hogs that it's really hurting Covington. So I don't know. I'm hoping he still turns it around. I'm not cutting him. I'm not selling low. But yeah, I'm a little bit nervous.
Speaking of the aforementioned CJ McCollum, he is one of the top 10 players in fantasy right now. Absolutely going off like that proverbial frog in a sock. He had 20 points. He had 6 for 13 from the field, which is not quite. Remember, there's still a few minutes to go, so he could get a couple more buckets. But he had 3 rebounds and 4 assists up to that point, and he had a block. He's one of the top 10 players in fantasy right now. Now, he is definitely a sell high, isn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, McCollum is not going to finish the year in the top 10. He's a streak shooter who's going to have some cold moments. So, yeah, if you can get a first or second round value from McCollum right now, pull the trigger, but also pat yourself on the back for drafting him because he's definitely outperforming his average draft position.
When we look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's messy again, and it's messy on a lot of nights, isn't it? Like I mentioned streaming Juancho Hernangómez. He's got 12 points, 6 rebounds and a steal. If you were streaming him, would you hold him?
Yeah, Hernangómez is one of those weird guys. I would hold him because, you know, if something happens with, well, I don't know. Because once Cat comes back, I mean, it's lights out.
But when is Cat? When is Cat coming out back, though? That's the thing. I've heard different rumors, like 1 or 2 weeks. And then I've heard other rumors about 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah, they put out the dreaded things are going well, you know, article, which, you know, with no specific time frame. That's the scary part. I'm glad it's going well. But can you tell me like when he's going to be back? It kind of gets our hopes up a little bit and maybe, maybe create some trade rumors with them in fantasy anyway. I'm hanging on to Cat. Where I have them, I'm definitely, but I'm not really actively trying to buy low either because it is a little bit scary. But as far as Hernangómez goes, if you have him, you can hang on to him for a while. He's going to be a good streamer for at least a few more weeks, I think.
So somebody who had a really amazing second half in this game was Anthony Edwards. He was having a shocker, but he's now filled up the 24 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 3 three-pointers, not super shooting, 8 for 18. He's a guy who seems to fall onto some waiver wires here and there. What do you think about him rest of season?
Yeah, he's a tricky one. I think this was a little bit of a garbage time special because they were, you know, got down by about 20 points here at the beginning of the fourth. But, you know, he's a good scorer. He's not going to be great for your percentages. And he doesn't do a whole lot in other areas. So, I mean, if you need scoring and you want to bet on potential, you know, he could be worth a pickup if you have someone at the end to cut. But I'm not super excited about the rest of season outlook there.
Okay, that is good to know. So, Brent, that's about all we got time for with you today. I'm going to come back and do the last two games after they are fully completed. To thank you for coming on early. Of course, what the listeners don't know is, and that we'll know now, is my daughter has put a shoulder out and I found a physio appointment for her. So we have to go off to that at the time we would have normally recorded. Before we go, let's just ask you a couple of very quick questions. Who do you think is your fantasy steal of the season so far? Who is the person that you drafted that you're most happy about? And to give you a bit of thinking time, for me, it's McCall Bridges. I got him in the 60 to 80 range in a whole bunch of drafts, and I'm very, very delighted about that. Who is somebody that you found that you're ecstatic about?
I mean, I've been really happy with being one of the first people to jump on Kyle Anderson at the beginning of the season. I was a big fan when he was in the Spurs, and I knew he was healthy this year and had opportunity with some injuries, and he definitely hasn't disappointed. So yeah, I think as far as steals would be Kyle Anderson off the waiver wire.
And what about the player you're most disappointed with? I mentioned probably for me Nurk. There's so many actually. There's Nurk, DeAndre Ayton, another one that I have
There's a lot.
It's hard to pick one, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, Robert Covington has easily been the biggest disappointment for what I expected to get out of him. He's really fallen off a cliff, and it's not really. I've watched the games. I'm not seeing any signs of him breaking out of it anytime soon.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us, Brent, on a bit of a weird day for the NBA and a bit of a weird day for me here too. I do appreciate it. It was fantastic talking with you, and listeners will be very pleased to know that Brent will be joining us every Thursday night US time, coming out in time for Friday morning in the US, and we're going to get his wisdom regularly. Thanks very much for joining us, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Can't wait to do it weekly.
Beautiful stuff. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for betting tips, and we always get asked, who you got? You got the Lakers, you got the Clippers, you got Rodgers or Mahomes? And I tell you what we tell them, your bet, where you bet, is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why we tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid. They've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. You know us, and you know that we don't give out our stamp of approval easily. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is simply the best sports book out there, period. Of course, the National Championship College Football game is coming up on January 11th. There's all the NFL playoff games and, of course, the NBA every day. It's very simple to get involved. Sign up, enter the promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL is HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That is 1,000 buckaroos. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add a little extra excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Bet with the best and bet with my bookie. Now, just putting a cap in the backside of that Portland versus Minnesota game, was a few minutes to go, and Damian Lillard finished up with 39 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. He was 13 of 21 from the field. I just thought I wanted to mention that. He was one of the top first-round guys. He started out a bit slowly, but he is now up to 18th on the season on a per game basis and going up with a bullet. There are two games more to go on this slate, and the first one was the San Antonio Spurs up against the LA Lakers, and this is where I go, whoop, woo, because LaMarcus Aldridge had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He hit 3 three-pointers. He was 3 from 3 from the foul line, 11 for 18 from the field at 61%. And probably the only thing missing was a block or two and maybe a steal, but really, really good stuff from LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, that did eat into Keldon Johnson's usage just a little bit. He had only 10 shots. Mind you, he was a putrid 2 for 10 from the field. He had just 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He did have a steal, though. I'm sure Keldon will fight back, and he is definitely a hold. Patty Mills has been absolutely on fire on the last week or so. He cooled off a little bit, but he still managed to have 7 assists. He had 10 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists. He was just 1 of 3 from deep. It was like the Lakers kind of keyed in on him with their perimeter defense. Apart from that, DeMar DeRozan is just chugging along with top 30 value. He had 19 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. He was 5 for 13 from the field, which is very efficient. Rudy Gay remains a hold. He had 15 points, 6 rebounds. Not a lot else, but he did have 3 pointers. 15, 6, and 3 from a streamer. You cannot complain about that at all. And on the other side of this game were the Los Angeles Lakers. They, of course, were on the losing side of this game with the Spurs getting a bit of an upset win. LeBron James had 27 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists. He was 8 for 15 from the field and 4 for 7 from deep. And if I ask you to guess what kind of value LeBron was returning at the moment, would you be able to guess? He's up to 36 on a per-game basis. Free throws and turnovers are hurting him as ever. His field goal percentage is down a little bit, and he's not getting any steals or any blocks. And everything else is just down a tick. So we'll see what happens with LeBron. He is one of the first round, end of the first round, early second round guys that people were a bit worried about. And like with Jimmy Butler, he's not doing fantastically so far, but we'll see that pick up, I'm sure. Anthony Davis had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and one still had 3 big blocks. And he also shot 64.7% from the field. So I don't think you should be worried about him at all. Dennis Schroeder had a shocker. This is what we call a poo the bed kind of game. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. He was 3 for 11 from the field, and he has very much cooled off. Another man that has cooled off is Montrezl Harrell. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds, and nothing else. Mind you, he was 5 for 7 from the field. He's probably a drop. Schroeder is probably a drop if you find other hotter things on your waiver wire. The only other thing of note really in this game is that Kyle Kuzma had a double-double. He had 13 points and 10 rebounds, but he remains nothing but a streamer every now and then, if that takes your fancy. And before we get to the final game of the evening, let's hear about some refined cologne from our friends at Manscaped. And of course, support for this podcast comes from Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And big news, they've got a new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. In fact, who knew that smelling good could feel this good too? With the same signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. It's light, approachable, and gentlemanly in all the right ways. And it comes in a beautifully designed glass bottle that makes a statement, and the manly scent is, of course, attractive to set the mood. Also, be sure to check out the Perfect Package 3.0 with all the essentials for your below-the-waist grooming needs, including the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer and crop formulations. Yes, I'm talking about ball deodorant and toner to keep your testes besties. And now you can use the new Manscaped Refined Cologne to complete your set and smell great anytime, anywhere. It is time to get the sexy back, like Justin Timberlake used to say. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20. At manscaped.com. Your balls, your body, and your partners will thank you very much. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Now, for the last game of the evening, it was, I was going to say my Dallas Mavericks because I have them in a 30-team league. They were up against the Denver Nuggets, and it was an absolute thriller in Manila, although not actually in Manila, of course. They won in overtime by a score of 124 to 117 for the Dallas Mavericks. It, of course, was the Luka Doncic show. He had 38 points, 9 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. He hit 2 for 7 from deep. That 3-point percentage is still looking pretty rough. And he was 10 for 15 from the foul line, which kind of blew your free throw percentage away, but he was 13 of 22 from the field, and that is a monster line from Luka. Maxi Kleber had 9 points and 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He's been a bit better, but he's pretty much a streamer. Pretty much all of Dallas, except for Luka, are really streamers, aren't they? If you look at it, who maintains value? Even Josh Richardson, 14 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals, which is tasty, but that's the first multiple steals game for him of the season. And he was putrid, 5 for 15 from deep. So he's around about 130 at the moment. Apart from Luka, who really holds value on the Mavs? It's not really very many. They're all just streamable guys. And we hold out hope that, of course, the man himself, Kristaps Porzingis, will be back. Hearing rumors about him being available in 1 to 2 weeks, even. Gee, that would be very, very tasty indeed, wouldn't it? Before we leave, let me just a little bit of a reminder for you that, of course, there is the Bruise Letter coming out very, very soon, the first one of the season, so you will want to sign up. The Bruise Letter is back. It's fresh for this season. It's our founder, Aaron Bruschi. He writes an email newsletter filled with the most intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content. It's a long read in your email. It is fantastic stuff. It's not in any podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter, and you can sign up to get it for free. Go to bit.ly/bruiseletter2021 and sign up in 10 seconds. The site is bit.ly/bruiseletter2021, Aaron Baruski, straight to your inbox. Okay, that's it for today's show. And Scotty, we'll be back tomorrow on for the Friday, the 8th of January games. That is, of course, Saturday, the 9th of January in Australia, and it's my birthday. So I'll be taking the day off, going out in the harbour for a cruise and having a huge party. No, I wish. I've got two children, including an 11-month-old, D'Angelo. Shout out to you, son. Keep on gunning, just like your namesake. And everybody out there, take care. Enjoy Scotty tomorrow with Stephen Vidovich. And good luck to your family. And bye for now.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.